Well, welcome to another edition of My Life in Football, of course, Series 4. Really pleased to say that Matt Clark's joining us from Redditch today, and it's a pleasure to speak to you, sir. And how's things going for you?
No, pleasure. Really chuffed to be on there, and thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, the sun's shining, so it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Football-wise, though, I mean, with Redditch, I mean, it's
Yeah.
a bit of a tough start this for you this
Yeah.
time round.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's been tough. We've been in there now since November, and we haven't had the results that we hoped. You normally get a new manager bounce, and it was all singing and cheering the first game. The day after I went in there, we beat Stamford at home. Didn't deserve to win, but we won 2-1. A late winner. And it seemed really positive. I think we moved up to second or third in the table. And then since then, we've just, found it really, really difficult. There's been a huge turnaround of players. Obviously, the previous manager, Tim, he'd left, I think, really based on the fact that he'd found it tough to keep the players because there'd been a lot, he'd lost a lot of players. And I think he'd been frustrated with that. And then, I went in there. They were in a real good position in the league, to be honest. They were sixth in the table. But subsequently, the week, 3 or 4 days before I took the job, he'd lost, or the club had lost, probably their best attacking player in Jaden White, who'd gone to Hereford. And then within a week or two, we lost another one. Alex Cameron, who scored 15 goals for me last season. And he was, I think he was fourth leading scorer. We lost him to Alzo in. And then a few weeks after that, we lost Johnny Johnson to Buxton. So effectively, in the space of a few weeks, we'd lost the front three, and we've just really struggled for goals. And if you look at all of our games, they've all been, I think, bar two, I think they've all been a one goal swing. The games that we've won have all been a one goal swing, in the Stamford and the Stamford Barwell Kettering games have been one goal swings, and the games that we've lost have been one goal swings the opposite way. So, no team has we've not been battered by anybody. I think my second league game actually we lost 3-1 to away at Royston, but other than that, similar scoreline against Royston and a 2-0 against Stamford, but every other game has been very, very close. And we've just come out on the wrong side of it. So it's been frustrating. It's been really difficult, but we're really confident. We've 7 games to go that we can, we can just knuckle down, and maybe with one or two additions that we're really trying hard to do, and just get over the line, and then have a summer where we can rebuild.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. We'll come back to Redditch a bit later on. But I mean, so where did a young Matt sort of start his sort of football career then? Was it sort of like just at school, or was it preschool, or I mean, was it sort of
Yeah.
parents getting you involved in it? I mean, how did it all start for you?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I didn't really get a lot of support from my dad because my dad had come over to England in the 50s, late 50s from Jamaica. So for my dad, it was all about the cricket. When I was a, when I was a kid, I'd be taken round to all the county grounds when West Indies were touring. To watch the West Indies, your Viv Richards and your Joel Garners and your Malcolm Marshalls. That's what my early sporting memories were.
I've got to ask you before you go on back to your football, what was that like watching those
Oh,
kids?
honestly, it was incredible. Like I say, my dad's one of 10 and 8 brothers, and they were completely cricket mad. They moved over from Jamaica into the Birmingham area, and well, there was I think two or three that moved to London, but the rest moved in and around Birmingham. And so when they played, when West Indies played England at Edgbaston, it was like a party. It was ridiculous. But we'd go to Trent Bridge. We'd come down to the Oval. And we'd come down to Lord's, and it'd just be like a tour of England, for a couple of months to watch, the West Indies playing one day games and and in Test cricket, and it was incredible. And there's me at school. I didn't really like cricket. I didn't really like it. I just wanted to play football as a kid. So yeah, we'd moved to we were living in West Bromwich, and of course at the time it was the 3 degrees at West Bromwich Albion in Brendan Batson, Laurie Cunningham, and Cyril Regis. I missed that part, but Cyril Regis was still playing. My dad took me. Funny enough, my dad took me to my first game. I was seven. It was my first ever game was. I think it was the fourth round of the UEFA Cup. It was West Brom versus Zurich Grasshoppers. Yeah, he got me from school, and because I kept going on to him, and my dad had never been to a football game. And we went to the game, and they lost. I think they lost 3-0, and it's 3-1 on aggregate. So they came out, and I was gutted. Then my next game, talk about a baptism of fire. My next game was a League Cup game in, I think it was 83 or 84, and it was Millwall at home, and West Brom had lost the first game. The League Cup, it must have been the first round. And West Brom had lost the first game 3-0 at Millwall. So the return leg was at the Hawthorns, and West Brom won 5-1. And I think the game was almost abandoned. The game was stopped for about 40 minutes. The first time I'd experienced racism and experienced like widespread like hooliganism, and I couldn't believe it. And like obviously my dad, who's a cricket person, was like, wow, because we would watch West Indies play against England, and you wouldn't see anything. And we were going to games now, and we were seeing bananas thrown on the pitch, the black players booed, or no monkey noises made. And obviously to us it was just like, what the hell was going on? And then to see fighting was just mind blown. And to be fair, we didn't go again. You can imagine that put my dad off, and we didn't go again for about a year, to be honest.
I mean, that might have said as a young kid. I mean, how old would you have been then?
Think I was seven.
Wow.
Yeah, I was about seven or eight. And you're like, wow, because I was just at the age there where I was playing football at school. I just started playing for my local, like I think under nines, under tens team in West Bromwich. And everybody, you support your local team. There'd always be Man United fans or whatever, but and where we lived, it was either Villa or West Brom, and a few Birmingham City fans. We never really There was no Wolves fans then, not many, because where we lived, we're only the West Brom ground was probably a mile from us, and then the Villa ground's only 3 miles from the West Brom ground, and the Birmingham ground's 4, whereas the Wolverhampton ground's probably 14, 15 miles. So it was. We were closer to there, and just like I say, I just started playing football for the under tens and that. But that experience at the Millwall game really put us off as a family, and my dad, because he wasn't a football. I was trying to get my dad into it, and my dad wanted to, because my dad had just started coming watching me play, and would take me on a Sunday. And I think that experience of seeing the violence was really off-putting for him. And I remember one day he said to me, "We're going to stick to going to the cricket," which was a summer sport, so that weren't too bad for that. But in the end, he came round and started taking me again.
How long did it get for you though? Was it straight back into it football wise for you though, like playing, or did it take a little bit of time to sort of like get your head around what you'd seen, and maybe at that age you were a little bit scared to sort of think, well, is that going to happen when I'm playing?
Yeah, you was, and like I was, obsessed with football. So I'd watch the big games on the TV, and you'd watch Villa, and Villa had players like Mark Walters, who's a winger, and I can remember they were, I think the year before Villa won the European Cup. So there was a lot of that on the TV and whatnot, and over the next few years, and I could remember seeing. And then just as I got, started to get a bit older, it was it, I was seeing them, bananas being thrown at John Barnes, Mark Walters, and those players, and you're like, wow, this is just. I think it opened my eyes because I hadn't experienced racism as a young boy, really not much, even though it was quite rife. I remember the, around this time there was a National Front march. And it went past our front door, and I can remember my dad, being out, and he's very, very protective of the children. There were three of us, and he would go out there just to protect to make sure that we weren't attacked or whatnot. And we're talking, early 80s here, so it was just eye opening. But from a football point of view, I was playing at school, and I was playing. I'd got my first team, and I was just loving it. And and obviously I didn't go and watch any professional football for a couple of years because of that experience. But then I think my dad started mixing with other parents at the junior football, and we went as a group, we went as a team, so that helped my dad. But to be fair, over the years my dad didn't really never he's still alive now, and he's like a casual fan, if you like, but he never ever really he was always more cricket. He was always more cricket. And then as I got a little bit older, I would start going with other parents and other friends, and I didn't really need my dad to take me. My dad would still come and watch me play on a Sunday. But yeah, so it was an eye-opening as a young person trying to find your way, in football.
So with your first team then, I mean, what was your first team called again?
First team was called Buslone Boys, which are a really big team in the, in the West Bromwich and the Birmingham area, in the Birmingham leagues. They were really successful, and they produced a lot of good players. Like my team, when I was 10, everybody was playing for either Villa or Birmingham or West Brom or Warsaw or Wolves. They were, we won everything that you could win for the first 3 or 4 years. But I was on the bench. I couldn't get a game for the first 2 or 3 years. The boys were too big and too strong for me.
So what was that feeling like, though, going there training every time and then not actually trying to
Yeah.
get a game?
Yeah, it was, but they were just so good. And I can remember my dad saying to me that, do you feel it's best that we go and play for a team that are not as good so you could play? And I wasn't very confident, and I was really small. And to be fair, I would just said, no, I've got friends here, and I just really enjoyed it. And I'd always get, 5 or 10 minutes at the end. And to be fair, for the first couple of years, because I was probably a little bit of a late developer in football. Other people probably played a couple of years before me because my dad had took me down the cricket route. And then, as I started to get older, when I got to 12 or 13, those boys that were doing really, really well, probably their growth spurt, they'd had that, and then I started to grow and then got better. And then when I was about 12, 13, I was the one that was playing in the team, and then I started playing, going through the town system and the county system, and then started having trials with clubs, and I left a lot of those boys, and I progressed a lot quicker than they did in the end.
So from that side, then where did you bounce on to from there?
No, we stayed there till about 13, about 12 or 13, and then I went to another team called Tividel Colts, which was quite local, and they weren't as good. They weren't, and it was in a different league. It was in a little bit of an easier league, and I kind of found my mantra then. I think for the next, from the age of say 13 to 15, I developed, and I become aware that actually I'm actually not bad at this, because I'd spent 2 years sitting on the bench, and everybody else was playing for the town teams and having trials, and that was never me. I was never good enough. And then when I just dropped down maybe a tier to a team that were not as good, but still not bad, I then developed really quickly, and then I was starting to attract quite a bit of attention from the your local professional clubs.
So what clubs are looking at you?
So when I got to about 14, 15, West Brom, Wolves, Villa, Warsaw, all the local teams. But by the age of 15, I then had an opportunity to, I could have gone pretty much to any of those.
Which one did you choose?
Well, the funny, obviously a massive, massive West Brom fan, I then went to West Brom at 15, And add, I think I played maybe three or four games, kind of a trial, and they didn't. They just said that I weren't quite good enough, so I went back to my Sunday side till I was 16, and then the scouts were coming again, and I played about four or five games at 16 for Wolves. Then they offered me a what was then a YTS, and as the day they'd offered it me, Villa had offered me the same. The same thing, but I opted to sign for Wolves at
What was that,
16.
what was that like? Was it
Oh,
sort of a bit of sort of happiness and a bit of sadness?
yeah, it was, yeah. The West Brom Wolves rivalry just started, so I got a little bit of stick from the family. But my first game was that I'd actually signed, and the Wolves played West Ham. Wolves played West Ham at Molineux, and Wolves had invited myself and the family into a box with Billy Wright, who was obviously a Wolves legend, and we had a meal with Billy Wright, and I went onto the pitch as a 16-year-old, and you waved to the fans, and that it was incredible. I'll never ever forget that. It was just a surreal experience. Firstly, to meet such a legend in Billy Wright, who played, I don't know, 100 times for England, and was an icon locally. He was in the later years of his life, but it was such an experience, and to have a meal, and for my parents, and like my dad, I'd hardly been to a professional game since obviously the experience that we'd had. I think he'd been to one or two, and so for my dad to experience that, I don't know, there'd have been a full house there against a West Ham team. It was in the Championship. But again, just a great, and how they looked after me made me feel, and that was the start of my then YTS youth team experience with Wolverhampton Wanderers.
What was it like with your dad, though? Did your dad come down? Was it, were parents excited about that?
Yeah, you know what? He didn't. He didn't come. I still lived with my dad, but he only came. I think I was a little bit, if I'm being honest, I was a little bit envious of other boys who had that kind of support mechanism. My mum was brilliant, but she was working all sorts of hours. She had two jobs. So my mum had come, we'd play like an FA Youth Cup game, and she'd come. And when we played West Brom, she'd come to that game. But my parents didn't drive, so it was difficult for them. But they came to an handful of games, and I was really chuffed when they did that.
That must have been something. That must have been hard for you playing against your team you support.
Yeah, that was really tough. We played some really important games, and I'd get a bit of stick because I'd become quite a confident kid, and the first team had people like Steve Bull, again, real icons locally, and I'd actually went to the same school as Steve Bull. He was obviously a number of years above me, but I knew some of his family, and I would go in before West Brom would play Wolves. Obviously, it's a big local derby, and I would go into the first team dressing room, and I'd put the West Brom badge up, or the West Brom team, and I would get a lot of stick from the first team players. They knew that I was a West Brom fan, and it was really good banter. And they'd put me in the store cupboard and give me a few beatings. But back then, when you could do things like that, so I'd give them a little bit of stick in jest. And but no, it was good. It was a real good experience.
Any favourite stories you can tell us from when you were there?
Yeah, I think one of the funny ones was we'd Graham Turner was the manager, who then later managed me, for a number of years at Hereford, and he that they th there was always an expectation at Wolves, as many clubs, that they wanted to get out of that league, and get into the Premier League. And the one day I'd all the players would get. The first team players and the youth team players, you'd get X amount of complimentary tickets, and the it was I think they were before they were playing before they were playing Forest, yeah, before they were playing Forest, I'd got all the tickets from everybody who didn't need them, and I went behind the back of one of the stands, and I was selling the tickets to some fans. I'd put a big coat over my Wolves tracksuit, and I was selling them. And I got caught by by one of the staff, and the team had got beat, and the crowd were baying for Graham Turner's blood, the baying for his blood, and he put me in a room after the game, and gave me a. Because I was doing really well. I was doing really well as a player, and he gave me a bit of a big bollocking for doing that. And look, there's many, many stories, but I think overall my time at Wolves was a really. I made some friends for life, and some people I'm still, I still speak to now. So it was a real good, a real good experience for me.
So how long was you at Wolves for?
I was only there for my 2 years. I was one of those that was borderline. Whether I was getting a professional deal or not, I played, some reserve games for them, but they had a player that was a year below me that was playing as I was a right back, but he was playing as a right winger in the youth team, and I think they'd identified him to that he was going to play in the first team, and we're really good friends now. Jamie Smith, he went and played about 250 games, 300 games for the club for the and. Yeah, so I always say to him, if it weren't for him, I would have probably stayed at Wolves and maybe had played many games. But yeah, all good. So yeah, 2 years. I just had 2 years there. But again, good experience.
Was it Kidderminster next?
No, it wasn't actually. So what had happened? Strange story. So when I'd left there, I went on trial. I had a trial at Wrexham. I'd done really well. And they'd offered me a kind of a short-term deal, and I was quite an only kid, and I didn't really want to do that. And they weren't obviously nowhere near the team that they are now, so I didn't play. I had about 6 months where I didn't play, and there was a step at the time they would be about a step 16, called Cradley Town. I'd spoke to a few other clubs that were like step two or step three, thinking, ah, that'd be no problem. I'm a good player. I'll go and play for them. They weren't interested, so I went to Cradley. I had one training session with them. That like they were step six. The manager at the time said, "Oh no, you won't be good enough for us, but you can play in our reserves, which would have been about step 10." So I played about maybe 15 or 16 games at step 10 for Cradley Town reserves, and I was getting frustrated because I think they'd left me out. They'd left me out once or twice, or I was on the bench there, and I just thought, where am I going with this? And then one evening, the reserve team manager said, a few of you can train with the first team. Bear in mind, the first team were only step six, and I went and trained with the first team. This is right, probably January or February now, so we'd already way into the season, and the first team manager was like, bloody hell, who's that? And then the following Saturday, I didn't have to play any reserve team football. I played in the first team, and I played till the end of the season, again at step six, and it was really, really easy. There was quite a bit of interest. I actually went down to QPR. I played in a couple of games for QPR in their reserves. I was 18, but they didn't offer me anything. I then went back to Cradley. And then I ended up going again to a step five team, I think for 500 quid, because they'd put me on a contract for about 15 quid because I thought, oh, we might be able to get rid of him. And they put me on a contract, and then I went for one season to a step five team called Alzo in Areas. And I think I stayed there for about 6 months, and then I was bought from Alzo in Areas, who was step five, to Alzo in Town, who were step two at the time. Because the leagues were reformatted, it was you had the what's the conference, and then you had the Southern Premier. You didn't have the Conference North and Conference South at the time. So I signed, I think, for about 1500, 2 grand to Alzo in Town, and they were really good. They were a really good side. We had a manager called Stuart Hall, and in my first proper season. I would have been about 19 now. We had a real good go. We finished second in the Southern Prem, behind Rushden and Diamonds. Rushden and Diamonds won it. Cheltenham, I think Cheltenham were third. It was a real competitive league, and I had 2 seasons there. But I was now probably 2021, and there was a lot of interest. I was on obviously on a contract. There was a lot of interest in me. I probably established myself as being one of the best young players locally, and then I just because I was studying, I went back to college, and I just got into the Great Britain students team. I went to the World University Games in 19, I think it was 1997 or 1998, and then when I came back, the manager at the time said, "Look, we've had two bids for you." I says, "Right, who are they?" And he was Rushden and Diamonds, who just got promotion to the conference, say step one, and Kidderminster Harriers. And Kidderminster Harriers had just finished second in the National League in the conference the season before. They had a right back there, Marcus Bignott, the sold Marcus. So I went and met them both, and again because Rushden had Max Griggs as the owner and Brian Talbot was the manager, and they were really having a go. There was a lot of money being spent, and one of our own players, Jimmy Rodwell, he'd actually signed for Rushden, so he was encouraging me to go. And the money was better at Rushden, but I decided to go to Kidderminster Harriers, and I think they paid at the time it was a joint record fee for a defender. I think it was about 17, between 15 and 17,500. I went to Kidderminster really with big ambitions to push on from there because I would have been 22, 21, 22. And I went there, but it didn't go as according to plan.
In what way?
I was very young. I was probably not living my life right. I expected it all to happen for me. And what had happened, I'd gone there and my debut actually, come on, against the team that I was going to sign for. Rushed in, I was sub my first game. I come on after about 30 minutes and I had an absolute nightmare. I was terrible, really poor. But then I recovered, and I think there was about 7 or 8 games left till the end of the season. And I did really well. And I think the second or third game, the manager Graham Allness said that he just said to me that we'd obviously just sold the right back Marcus Bignott to Crewe, and they bought me to replace him. And he said, "Look, you're a better player." And he said, "You know, within the next year, I think we'll sell you even higher," which was really good. And then I a real vein of form. I played about 3 or 4 games on the bounce between then and the end of the season. I was doing really well. Again, there was interest. I thought I'd go on. Then I got injured. I needed a double hernia, and while I was injured, I did things the wrong way. I upset the manager. I think we played Darlington, and we travelled up on the night before, and I never forget it. And I'm always quite clear on what I've done. So we stayed in the hotel, and about 10 o'clock, most of the boys are then going to the room because there's a big game the next day. I just got injured, and then me and a colleague, I won't mention him, me and one of the players, we went back to our room, and we climbed through the window, we got changed, climbed through the window, we went out into Newcastle, we went out on the town, and we came back. Obviously, I wasn't playing, but my pal was playing, and we come back, and I remember we got back at about 2:30. We had a bit of company coming back to the hotel. And the captain, Mark Yates, he knocked on the door, and he had a bit of a go at us, and it was really unprofessional when you look back. Obviously what we did, and the next day, the game was played, and I can remember travelling back on the coach, and the manager had said that I've got to have a meeting with him on the Monday morning, and he absolutely threw the right book at me, to the point where he basically said, "You're not going to play for me. You can't." There'd been a couple of other incidents as well. And I didn't think I was difficult to manage, but I was just doing things the wrong way. And then we came back for pre-season, I'd been completely ostracized, even though they'd bought me and I was on a contract for another year, completely ostracized. And then, completely out of the blue, they played Crewe. That was part of the Marcus Bignot deal. And completely out of the blue, they played me. They started me, and I was out. I was probably the best game I'd ever played. And I thought, right, that's me now. I'm going to be back in. And he didn't. I didn't focus. I didn't feature again. And then they went on. They embarked on a really good FA Cup run, and it got to the, I think it was in November, and I wasn't involved at all. You know, I wasn't playing because they didn't have a reserve game, a reserve team. They wouldn't send me out on loan. Or I really needed. I wanted to play. There was other clubs that wanted to take me. The manager wouldn't do that. And then they, we played. We were playing Plymouth away in the FA Cup. I think it was the first round. And they had a big injury crisis, and then on the Tuesday before, they rearranged. They arranged a friendly against Stoke because they needed to, you know, they needed me to play because I hadn't been playing any football. So I played right back in the game, and it was, you know, we were really, really bare bones, and I played, did really, really well. We travelled on the Friday night. To Plymouth. I stayed in because I'm there thinking I'm starting the game. Got an early night. The next morning, we go out for a walk as you do. We come back, we get to the ground. He names the team. I'm not in the team, and I was a bit surprised. Everybody expected me to play. He didn't name me. And then we only had four subs. So, well, me being the fifth one, and he named the four subs. And he was looking around the dressing room. And he named the assistant manager, who was at the time, he was probably 50. He named him on the bench instead of me. And then you knew that, yeah, look, my time is done. So I didn't watch the game. I think the game finished 3-3, and then Kidderminster beat them in the replay. I just went and sat on the coach, and I knew my time was up. And then about a few days later, Graham Turner, their Hereford's chief scout, Ron Jukes, who took me to Wolves as a kid, he rang me. And then within a few days, I terminated my contract, and I signed a 2-year contract at Hereford United.
That's an awful situation to be in, though. I mean, all right, you've done wrong, et cetera, but to actually sort of a manager to behave in that way was is quite shocking, really.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, I was really, really angry at the time. I was angry towards the manager. Look, there'd been two or three incidents that I'd done as a player, and now as a manager, I can see it. So I could see, but I wasn't a bad, I wasn't a, I've made some real bad decisions, if you like, unprofessional decisions. And I can see that, but the club had bought me, they'd paid quite a lot of money for me. And I never got the, what had happened, I'd end up playing. So before they'd sold, before they'd let me go, I was on 14 games. I played 14 games. Obviously, the season when I joined, I think I joined in the January. So I played pretty much all of the last 15 games. And if I played one more game, they would have to pay about, I think it was another 10 grand. So that was probably that was the big reason why I didn't feature. So because of obviously the breakdown in communication between me and the manager. They knew that if they played me one more game, then they would have had to pay Alzo in town. You know, I think it was an extra, maybe an extra 7,500, an extra 10,000. So it was never going to happen. So it was in the best interest of all parties that you know, I moved on, and that's what I did.
So, as you say, you go to Hereford. I've just sort of pulled up on Google, and there's a picture of you come up, and it's from I think it's from a paper that you must have done an interview with my Hereford United story that's come up. There's a picture of you there, and I had to look, double take, triple take at it, and I'm still looking at it now. It's an absolute spitting image for Gabriel Jesus.
Okay, I've never had that one before, but I'll take it.
I mean, literally, if I get a chance, I'll try and put it on the end of this so people can
Okay.
actually see. But it is for any Redditch fans, go back, go and have a look because unless it's my eyesight and I'm getting old, but that's exactly what it looks like to me. But so you go there back to you know back with a manager that you know you're sort of very familiar with. I mean, how did it go? How did it go?
Look, brilliant. It's the best time of my professional career as a footballer. So I went to a really big club at the time who'd, I think they'd been out of the league maybe a year. I think they'd come out of the league too. But they were really, really big. They were full time. So I'd obviously gone from being full time at Wolves. Kidderminster at that time weren't full time. And I'd gone back full time. And it was brilliant. I had six seasons there. Played a lot of games, had some incredible eyes. Graham Turner, without any shadow of a doubt. So we'd had a bit of a run-in when I was at Wolves. I was a bit of a, there's a bit of a common theme there in my younger days. I was, a little bit difficult probably. But the aura that Graham had, to this day, I can't thank him enough for he was an outstanding manager, a man manager. He was very old school, but he knew how to get the best out of his players, and it was a privilege to play for him, to be honest, and to play for that club. And like I say, they got the best years. I think I was about 23 to 28, 29. So they had real good. They got their money's worth out of me, and like I say, we did some fantastic things from FA Cup runs and. Doing well in that league. We never could quite get out of the league, which was a frustration because the support that they had, and we lost in the FA Trophy semi-final to Forest Green, which was devastating. But honestly, I experienced so many good times and met so many good people that club will always have a special place in my heart.
So, tell us a few of your favourite games then from when he was at Hereford.
There's loads. I mean, there was the I played in a number of the FA Cup games. We had a great run. We beat Hartlepool in round one, and then round two we beat Wrexham, and then round three I'd been suspended for the game before and I was on the bench, and we played Leicester, and Leicester at the time were sixth in the Premier League, and that was with Eski and Steve Walsh and Impey and Muziz, and we played them at our place. And we our game the week before, our game had been called off, and Leicester had played. They actually played Aston Villa, and we got tickets. We went to the game, and they beat Villa 6-0, and they were playing us the week after. And we were like, "Well, we were." I think we were about third or fourth in the conference, and. We played, and as you can imagine, I think for the first 20 minutes, we couldn't get the ball out of our 18-yard box. It was just completely. Robbie Savage played, and funny, the story was Robbie Savage was obviously a Welsh international, and our goalkeeper, we had a goalkeeper. He was the number two keeper, Mark Jones, and his brother was Paul Jones, and Paul Jones was, I think he was at Wolves at the time, but he was the Welsh keeper, so he got. Mark's number, Robbie, and he was ringing him the night before, and he was doing all the tomfoolery that you'd get. And but the bottom line is, for the first half, I think they had about 25 shots at goal, hit the post. The keepers made unbelievable amount of saves, and we never even had an attack. And it looked like you thought you were going to get beat 5 or 6 nil. And then in the second half, they kind of dropped off a little bit, and we were better. Paul Parry, who was a winger, we had a couple of unbelievable young players, Welsh boys that went on to have fantastic careers. And one of them, we had a left winger called Paul Parry, who went on to play in an FA Cup final for Cardiff. He played probably 250 games and 50 caps for Wales. And he was 19. He picks the ball up, goes past two or three, and hits the post. And we end up drawing the game 0-0. And it was a great. Obviously, a great experience. And then in the replay the week after, they'd actually done the FA Cup draw, and the winners would play Arsenal in the fourth round. But nobody's obviously expecting us. I think at the time, a conference team hadn't beaten a Premier League team. And I remember on the Tuesday night, we're having a pre-match meal in Leicester, and the paper in Leicester is a Leicester Mercury. And I can remember opening the paper on the back, the prediction was 6-0. Martin O'Neill was the manager at the time, and look, we were going there for the, to obviously experience. It was Filbert Street, so it was at the old ground. It was just before they moved, and we kicked off, And we started really, really well, like so much better than the first game. And then about, I don't know, 25 minutes in, we score, we take the lead. Paul Fewin scores, and we 1-0 up. And then second half, they're obviously dominating and having a go. And then in about the 81st, 82nd minute, they equalise 1-1. And then second half, sorry, then it goes to extra time. They go down to 10 men. They score 2-1, and the last kick of the game with the crossbar. And you know, again, just I didn't play. I was on the bench, and I played must have played 40 games that season. So that was a bit of a frustration. But no, look, that was a great experience. And then you know, a few weeks after, sorry, the end of that season, pre-season, we played Manchester United. That was a high. They played their team that day was. The Neville brothers played fullback, Ronnie Johnson and Wes Brown, centre half, Nicky Butt, Roy Keane, Quentin Townsend, Ryan Giggs, and Dwight York and Andy Cole played up front. And we got beat 5-0 pre-season, but what an experience that was. It was 0-0 for about the first, it was 2-0 at half time, and it was 0-0 for about the first half an hour. And that was a great experience. But over the course of the years, we had fantastic cup runs, and we had promotion pushes, and we had a big rivalry at the time with two clubs, with Rushden, who went on to get promotion, and Yeovil. They were really big games. The Yeovil games, and Yeovil again went through the leagues and went into the championship. Gary Johnson was the manager. He'd gone in there, and he'd done really, really well. And in fact, they took two of our players in Michael Mackindo and Gavin Williams, you know, from us. So it was, yeah, great, just great experiences. And probably the biggest low would have been losing the playoff semi, sorry, the FA Trophy semi final. So we drew away at Forest Green 2-2, you know, big crowd, and then a huge crowd at home expecting us to get through and get to the final. And we fluffed our lines. You know, we were in the top two or three in the league, and Forest Green were in the bottom four. We beat them home and away in the league, and everybody wanted an FA Trophy final, and I'd never had one. And we got beat 4-0 at home. And it wasn't, I think we were kept in the dressing room for about an hour because the fans were rioting outside, you know, because they all expected a final, and we didn't give it them.
Did they have the ball outside as well?
Yeah,
Oh,
the ball, all our cup games, the ball would come out and come on the pitch, and they'd roll the ball into the goal. But yeah, great experiences.
it's quite incredible because when they got to the trophy final against Hornchurch, they actually managed to get permission to do that there as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I came to that game. I went to the they've been to two finals, haven't they? The Vars final, I think it was. Was it Hebburn or Whitley Bay, and then Ornchurch? So I came with some ex-players to both those finals.
So you, when you finished at Hereford, what was the next destination?
Yeah, so what had happened? I'd been there. I'd almost gone a couple of times. I'd almost gone to a couple of League One, League Two teams, but it just wasn't quite right. And I'd got to the age where I was 29, and I'd been there for 6 seasons. And look, I'd done some good things there. I'd captained them a couple of times, you know, a few times and whatnot. And but I felt I needed a new challenge. And come the end of the season, what had happened was the club had offered a number of players new deals. I was one of them. In principle, I'd verbally agreed the deal. And then on the Monday, so the season finished on the Saturday, and on the Monday, we had to go to it was Cheltenham or Gloucester University to do all your checks, so you could be monitored during the off season. And I'd gone there, and that's when I was supposed to sign a new deal. And I'd had a phone call, the day before from Nigel Clough. So Nigel Clough was a manager at Burton, and they just moved to their new ground. And at the time, they were a conference club, but really, really ambitious. And he'd asked what my plans were, and I said, "Well, look, I've just been offered a new 2-year deal at Hereford, And he said, like, don't sign it. He says, come and meet me tomorrow at the Metropole Hotel near the airport. I was like, right, okay. And the captain at the time at Hereford, Ian Wright, he was doing the same. He'd actually not been offered a new deal, and he was signing for Burton. So that was what my intention was. So I'd gone up, I'd done the fitness tests, and then the assistant manager had said, like, obviously the 6 or 7 players that were due to sign the new contracts, go into a room and just get your contracts done. And I just turned my phone off and I just left the building, so nobody could get hold of me, with the intention to go up and meet Burton. And I did. I went up. I met Nigel Clough at the Metropole Hotel. Sat down with him and the chairman, who I think he's still the chairman now, Richardson. Sat down, they offered me a 2-year contract, very good package. And at the time, the chairman had a load of perfume shops, and I was due to get married, and he gave me this like hamper with a load of perfumes. That was for my wife. He said, take that, you're getting married in the summer, you take that. So we'd shook hands on a deal, had agreed a deal, quite a good signing on fee. And Nigel says, look, I'll come and meet you tomorrow and give you your signing on fee. And the chairman said, oh, I've got a grand or so in my pocket. Do you want to just take that? And I was like, no, just give it me tomorrow. So I'm happy. I'm signing a new deal. I shook hands, and I'm on the way home. And I get home, and then the former chief scout at Hereford had actually left, and now he'd gone to Telford, and Telford had just built this new, brand new stadium. They got a new owner. They'd actually got just sacked their manager, so they didn't have a manager in place. But the chairman, the owner, Andy Shaw, at the time, he had this ambition that they were going to win the conference that year. They phoned me and said, Matt, I've heard you've not signed your new deal at Hereford today. And I said, no. I said, but I've agreed in principle to, I've agreed verbally to sign for Burton Albion. And he said, look, give me your address. He said, have you signed anything? I said, no, but I'm signing it tomorrow. They're going to do like a press release or whatever. And he said that I'm coming to your house. And he came. They didn't have a manager, and he came to my house. And the deal that I'd been offered at Burton, he just completely blew it out the water in every single way. And I then had that really uncomfortable phone call ringing Nigel Clough to say that, I know we've agreed and I've shook your hands, but I've been offered a deal that I just can't turn down. And then he offered me a little bit more, and we were back and forth a little bit. And in the end, I signed for Telford, and it was a year at Telford where they just went gung-ho, and they signed a brand new team from I think we had by far the biggest budget in the league. We'd signed players from just from the Championship, League One and League Two. There was only me, and I think there was Richard Lavery, who's I was at the Kettering manager, that signed him. He was at Nuneaton. We were the only conference players, I think, that they'd signed. They'd gone really heavy to go and win the league. So I'd signed for Telford on a 2-year contract.
And how was that there?
Well, I started. Look, it was again. We were favourites to win the league, huge favourites. And at the first game of the season, I remember we went on the Friday. We played Barnet away, and I don't know if you remember at Barnet they used to have a big slope at Underhill, and I can remember being on the coach and playing cards, and I never got starstruck or anything. But I think we'd signed 5 players from the Championship. And the money that they were getting paid Championship money, and I can remember the one, I'm not going to mention names, but the one player said, like, who is it we've got tomorrow? And this was on the coach on the Friday going down there, and I was just listening, and I remember him saying, oh, I've never even heard of Barnet, I've never even heard of them. And it was ridiculous, and I thought we're in all sorts of trouble here. And of course we went there and we got beat 2-0. And we really found it difficult. Our next game we played away at Exeter, I think we got beat. And I knew that we would struggle in the league. And we did. We found it really tough. We were favourites to win it, and the players were completely underperforming. But what we did do, we had a really good cup run. So I think the first round we beat Tamworth, because when you're in the conference, you're playing the last qualifying round, and I think we played Tamworth, who would have been maybe a division below. In the first round, we played Crawley, who were a conference club. The second round, we played Brentford, who were League One at the time, and we beat them. I think we beat them 4-0 at home. Steve Copple was the manager. They had some really good players. We beat them 4-0. I always remember Steve Copple's interview after the game, and he said, like, they said, "Oh, you know, are you embarrassed about it being a shock?" And he said, "Look, their budget's bigger than ours." He says that they're not a conference club. In the next round, we played Crewe away. Now, Crewe at the time were in the top six in the championship, so they had Dean Ashton. They had a number of players. They were an outstanding championship team, and we've gone there as a conference team, and we beat them. I remember the game really well. They battered. We scored. Lee Mills, who we'd signed, I think, from Portsmouth or Wolves, he scored early on, maybe the first 5 minutes, and they put us under a lot of pressure. But we won. We won the game, and it was obviously fantastic. And then we had the fourth round. At the time, I think we were the first or one of the only conference teams to beat a championship team away in the cup. And then in the next round, we all wanted one of the big ones, but we got Millwall again, who were a championship club, and obviously Millwall sparks that memory. Dennis Wise was the manager, and we were due to play them. And look, they had a fantastic team: Cahill and Paul Ifill, Danny Dicchio. They had a, you know, Stephen Reid. They had a really good side, a really good championship team, and we played them at home, and we turned up, and they had Cahill missing. They had about four or five missing, and there was a little bit. There'd been a bit of rain, and there was a bit of a drainage issue, and we really felt that we could beat them because we were better than a conference team with the players that we had. And Dennis Wise got right into the ref before the game, and they called it off. And I remember thinking, and Dennis Wise, he had a little smirk as he come off because we'd said, "Ah, that was naughty," and he knew that we could have beat him on that day. And then it was rearranged for a couple of weeks later. They obviously had everybody back, and they beat us maybe 1-0. And that year, that was 2004, and that year they got to the final. Millwall got to the final against Man United. I think they got beat 4-0. But yeah, it was. And then what had happened? We got to the trophy semi-final that year with Telford. But just before then, the owner's company went bump, and this fantasy story, if you like, was the cracks had appeared, and the club had said that we can't fulfil all your wages. We'll be able to see the season out, and we lost in the playoff. Sorry, we lost in the FA Trophy semi-final to Canvey Island on penalties. And then we saw the next few games out, and then in the summer, at the end of the season, they said that they were going to drop down a number of divisions, which they did. I think they dropped down two or three, and there was an opportunity then to you could stay on reduced terms, or you could go and leave and find your own way. And I decided to leave. I'd spoke to Terry Brown and not Terry Brown. I'd spoke to Stuart Cash at Aldershot, but I was 29, 30, and I'd never really worked. I'd been playing full time because Telford were full time as well. And I'd spoke to them at Aldershot, and it would have been another year, but I would have had to move. And to be honest, I decided against that. And then I signed. The leagues had obviously been reformatted now, and there was a Conference North, and my local team was Redditch United, who were in the Conference North for the first time. They jumped up a couple of leagues, and I decided to go and sign for them.
And is that where the love affair with Reddit started?
Yeah, it is, and we stayed in the league for about four or 5 years, and or they stayed in it longer, but I stayed there for. I was coming towards it, not at the start time when I signed. I had a real good spell, but I think I stayed there for about 4 or 5 years, and so they saw the back end of my career, and we had some really good times. Just staying in that league and pushing for playoffs. We went up to clubs like Barrow, are obviously in the league now, and we beat them, and we were hovering around the playoffs. And a great, we had a real great group of individuals, And again, like a lot of clubs, we then fell into financial issues. And then that was the disbandment. And I think from me, they are left. I left there, then being a Conference North club, and I went to Halso in town to help. The manager at the time was Meron Mason. He was the manager owner, and I went there. Probably now I'm 34, 35, definitely coming to the end of my career. So I went in as a kind of a player coach. I wanted to go down the coach route. The last 18 months at Redditch, I was doing a coaching role with their reserves. And I've gone to Alzoin to help, but still to play a little bit. And they were going through issues, and the fans were against the ownership. So at the start of the season, he then got banned. He said, "Look, I'm still the owner. I want you to manage it." I never had a clue what I was doing. I was like, "Really? What do I need to do?" So it was thrust upon me maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the start of the season at Alzo in town. The fans had were boycotting the club. So we started the season. I think the first game we played ML Hempstead, and the fans didn't come in. So the fans, they got ladders. It's incredible. The fans are boycotting the games, and they were actually watching from ladders on the field behind. So there was probably only 80 people, and they would have been ML Hempstead fans. We actually won 1-0, and that was the start of management for me. I was player manager, but I never played. I must have been 35. We're talking, we're talking probably 15, 13, 15 years ago now. And that was the start of my managerial career.
So, with your managerial career, and you started there. I mean,
Yeah.
how long was you at Halzone for?
So a year. So we started on minus 10 points because of some financial irregularities, and obviously with the fans boycotting as well. And we finished that season. We finished on 71 points. So considering we started with minus 10. It was my first season. We would have finished second in the league. Farnborough won it that year. We would have won it, but we ended up finishing, missing out on playoffs on goal difference. And that was my year then. I got a ban. I got a year ban for incidents that had happened probably 5 or 6 years before. I was banned, so I saw it out. And then once that team completely disbanded, the Alzoin team. I think six of the players that I had that year then signed for Leamington, and they won the league. And then when my ban finished, I went to Evesham in the November of the following year. I went to Evesham, who were in the same league at Step Three. So the manager had just got the sack, and they were about 12 points adrift at the bottom of the league. And I thought, right, I'm gonna have a go. They'd offered me the job, and we had a real fantastic go to try and keep them up. We ended up finishing fourth from bottom. Goal difference from the team that were fifth from bottom on the last day. We drew away at Barwell on the last day of the season, and we went down because then the bottom, as it is now in the Southern League, the bottom four go down, and we missed out on goal difference. But it was just a fantastic effort from everybody concerned because they had no chance. Like I say, I think we were 14 points adrift when I took the job. And then I stayed for the following year at Step Four. We were the I left after a home game in November. We were fifth in the table at Step Four, and I resigned. I'd had a fallout with the chairman. I would probably have been sacked. He basically what had done the previous manager, who had been sacked, had been trying to wangle his way back in, and the chairman had given him the director of football role. I'd said to the chairman, "It's not going to work that." And he said, "Well, you need some help." I says, "Well, we don't." I says, "Because 3 days ago we were second in the table. We'd lost two games. We were down to fifth, so we're still in the playoffs." And I left. And from the day that I left Evesham, they're doing really well this year, by the way. But from the day that I left, they've never ever got promotion. From Step Four. So I think it was yeah, I know that I would have gotten promoted. And that was that. So I left there, and then I had a little bit of a break from football for maybe a year or two. I was still going to games, and then I got a call from an old friend of mine, who was managed. He was the manager at the time at Alzo in town. They'd been promoted from step four to step three, and he'd asked me if I wanted to go in as an assistant. And I was like, "Ooh, okay." I've not been an assistant, and I went in there to Alzo in town as an assistant. And to be fair, it didn't really work. I stayed there for maybe 3 seasons, but we had. There's certainly not the Alzo in town of what you see today. The crowds were really low. The playing surface was poor, the budget was poor. They were owned at the time by a guy who was really struggling, to be fair. He wasn't really a football person, and there was no connection with the supporters. And we were really, really up against it. And again, we had a relegation budget, and we were in a relegation fight most years. And then the minute we left, the guy who owns it now, Keith McKenna, is a really good guy. He came in just before we left, actually. And we parted company with Alzo in me and John Hill, the manager. They really struggled that year. I think we left in the November. They ended up getting relegated. They went through two different managers after. They ended up getting relegated back to step four. And of course, they didn't get back until, a couple of years ago. And then following that, I went to Redditch United as assistant manager to Paul Smith for 6 months, which was really good. It was good for me to get back in. So probably a month after leaving Alzo, I went to Redditch as assistant manager, and with the remit was just to stay up, in which we did that. And at the end of that season, Paul Smith went on to Alzo to manage, and I thought, I've done the Alzo thing that many times as a player and a manager and assistant, I couldn't go back there again. And that was it. And I get a call probably 6 months later from David Faulkner at Redditch, who I knew through the education route. And then I went back in at Redditch United, and the rest is history.
What's Dave like as a chairman? Because every time I speak to him, he comes across as somebody that he's probably one of the most knowledgeable and nicest chairman that that I've got to speak to. He seems to be very knowledgeable of the job.
He's unreal. All I can, I think when I've been at clubs before, either as a player, a manager, assistant, a coach, whatever, there's always that bit of a, maybe a bit of a distance between a manager and his chairman. I think from day one, the relationship, I mean, firstly, I'm older than Dave. I'm older than David. But from day one, we've just had a really good relationship, and he's been outstanding. I think his ideas and the way he has developed the club, and I think some people take that, supporters will take what he's done for granted, really. The club were going nowhere, 5 years ago under a very wealthy owner, by the way, in Chris Swan, who, I don't have any issues with at all, but he's very, very wealthy man. But I think when he lost his wife, he probably lost a little bit of interest in the football side, and that was neglected. And they just struggled again to fight relegation with poor budgets, the crowds are poor. And I saw a post out that Dave posted after the weekend's game in the case that I think 4 or 5 years ago, the average crowd at Redditch was 200. And now we had 1,400 Saturday. There was a lot of promotion into it, because it was free to everybody, but it was, just under 1,500 there. And I think the average crowd now is over 600. That's the average crowd. And when you consider the season that they've had, it's been a very a roller coaster season so far. The still have crowds of that. Last season was 600, 650, I think. So we're above last season's average,
Yeah, I
which
think
is
the
just.
average, just looking the average, just looking on to the web page, average 595.
Right, okay. So just under 600. And so that's, it's trebled in, 4 or 5 years. And that is only down to one person. That's down to David. It's frightening. You look, there's so many ideas that he's doing from a designer kit now that other clubs are replicating. He's managed to get Reddit on board. just the ideas, and that club is only going one way. It's only going one way because the infrastructure that he's building, and how it is. So, over the last 18 months, we found it very difficult to compete with the bigger clubs locally. But in the next 2 to 3 years, the Redditch will dwarf them from a budget point of view, from a revenue point of view. They'll just dwarf. I mean, you look, there are most non-league clubs at Step Three. They're volunteer based. I don't know how many full-time staff David's got, but he's got a lot of full-time staff because of what they're doing in the community, what they're doing at grassroots level, what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. It's absolutely incredible, and I think a lot of teams are looking across at what David's doing, and and again they're trying to replicate that, and they they're not all able to do it.
So I mean, he's at Redditch for a period of time, had a personal break, came back. I mean, was that difficult for you to come back? I mean, not for your personal reasons, but just to come back into football, come back again and take over from Tim.
It was, to be honest, because what I'd done, again, me and everybody knows, what had happened. But my relationship with David was strong, and we spoke a lot through it, and I helped, and advised in terms of the, future managers. I helped David with that. He wanted my help. Tim came in, and what I did say was, and I said to Tim, and I said to Dave, I won't be coming back. I won't be coming back to watch any games at Redditch. It's not fair because of the success that we'd had over the, we'd had progression year on year for 4 years, and I said that it's not fair. And Tim needs to go and do his own thing, and you don't need me in the background coming and watching games. And naturally, when a manager's done well, supporters will be like, oh, if Tim loses a game or whatnot, he'd be, oh, we want you back and that. And I went to one pre-season game, which I said, and then I went to their second home game of the season against Alzheimer's, because that was both my old clubs, and I went there to see friends. And I said that's the only games that I'd go to. And of course, you get all that speculation. And then when Tim, decided to move on, I was already speaking to Dave about other things, and within a few hours it was pretty much agreed, and I didn't really speak to the family about it. I just jumped in, just jumped in at the opportunity, and I didn't think about it. I didn't I just it was just a natural thing to do it. And looking back, would I do, yeah, because look, Redditch again, as Hereford has a big place in my heart, and Alzowin has a place in my heart. Redditch has got a massive part because not only did I captain them, in the Conference North, I was there for a long time. We won the Birmingham Senior Cup, which was brilliant and some great experiences, but managed it. It was probably my most successful period. As a manager, and it was brilliant. So I jumped at the chance, but I look at it, and Tim left for a reason. So why did, if there were six on the table, Tim's looked at it, and Tim's a real good guy, by the way, and he did an outstanding job. But Tim left because he found it very difficult to keep hold of his players, and he was frustrated. So he'd lost, Jordan Cranston had gone to Telford. He'd lost Moussa Cisse to Alzowin. He'd lost Jaden White to Hereford. There was about four or five boys that he'd lost that he wanted to keep. And he knew that there's other players that other teams are going to come for. And there wasn't stability. We'd had stability the previous 2 or 3 years. We'd had that stability, and players weren't leaving. But this year he had it. And naturally, when a manager goes, so I'd gone in the summer, and there was going to be a big turnaround. And I think that instability for Tim, and maybe the promise of better, a bigger budget, and because Alf Church were in the bottom four or five when he left. Now, that's not a normal move for a manager to go from one team who was six to a team that are bottom. So there's a reason behind that. So I took that on and quickly realised that, obviously, which I was aware of, that some of the better players had left. Within a week of me going there, we'd lost a couple again, Alex Cameron or whatnot. And it was clear that this is going to be really, really tough. So we've tried to, improve the squad. But when you're trying to do that over the Christmas period and people are already on contracts elsewhere or they're stable elsewhere, or if you look at division below, the better players who would be good enough for you are probably in a playoff position, so they don't want to leave. So we've just found it really difficult. And I know supporters have been really critical, which frustrates me because they don't quite get it. Some do get it, but I also understand from a fan's point of view. I do get their criticism, and I think for me, that's why the remit has just been: just make sure you stay in the league, and then it can be a complete rebuild in the summer. It'll be a blank canvas, so you can then go and try and compete to sign players that you've not been able to sign because they've either, like I said, they've either been on a contract or they've been stable in the club at the level where they are. So it's difficult. There have been massive challenges. Then you may have to sign players that you maybe probably wouldn't do if it was the start of the season. But I've got to say, the boys have given us, if you look at our games that we've played, and I mentioned this earlier, that our games are all, I think, in the 18, 19 games that we've been there, all of our games, bar two, I think maybe three, have been one goal. We've drawn a lot of games, and a lot of them, for instance, Saturday, that we should have won. But the games that we've played, the one goal swings, 90% of them. So we've just got to try and come out on the right side of those, and then we'll have enough points to see it out. But the one positive, and there's not many positives because supporters are supporters and they're very fickle. But in the 5 months that we've been there, we've only lost one league game at home, so that's a real big thing. We have drawn a lot. We've drawn a hell of a lot. I think we've won three. We've lost one and we've drawn maybe seven, and they've all pretty much been 1-1, I think, apart from 0-0. And so that's been the biggest frustration. But again, I get it. In hindsight, would I have done it? Yeah, I'd still have done it because of the love that I've got for both the chairman, and I'll always try and help. And if I feel any stage that my help is an hindrance to the club, then I'd walk away. Because it's not that I don't need, some people need football. I'm very fortunate. I don't. I'm doing quite well now out of football from a business point of view, and that's good. So I don't need to have it, but I want to have it, and I really, really enjoy it. And it's been good for me. With obviously what happened that was well documented. I think there's a big part of me wanted because and again, it's natural. Everybody'd written me off that I'll never be involved in football again. So I think a big part of me, I wanted to come straight back in to, stick a finger up to all those that had doubted me. When I left, when I stepped down, in at the end of February, we were top of the league. So, for me, and then, I still was in the background when we got to the playoffs last season. So for me, it was a really successful time. And now the emphasis is to try and replicate that, which is not easy. It isn't easy, but that's what my aim is to replicate. And Rome isn't built in a day. It took me a long time to get to a position where we were able to compete. The 2 previous years, we were able to be very competitive and push towards the playoffs. And that's, again, for next year, that will be the aim, to try and build something. Whether I'm able to do that, who knows? But the first thought is that I've got to make sure that we maintain the status at step three for this club, because that's imperative.
Well, listen, mate, it's fantastic to have you back. Really pleased to see you back in the game. And a massive thank you for joining us today for My Life in Football. But
Thank
from
you.
me and from Matt, well, I'll see you next time. And thank you for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, David.